Welcome back, everybody. Tom and Charlie Cassidy here. We're talking about evidence-based wisdom. It's the screencast series, and this is three short-term interventions. What do you mean by that, Charlie? What are you getting at here?
Well, really, evidence-based wisdom is about looking at the science behind wisdom, but why? Why would we do it?
Because we want to be wise, right?
So
wiser,
exactly. Okay. So the whole purpose of it is to find out what might actually, from this research, yeah, could be of use. You've got to be very careful with this sort of thing, and we're not really at the point there are loads of different practices that have been shown to increase your wisdom. It seems that we're in the early stages of, yeah, research, so they're still sort of working on the definitions, yeah, that kind of thing, yeah, getting the frameworks together. However, what we're going to be talking about now is three short-term interventions. So these are practices that have been shown in laboratory conditions to increase the wisdom of people's response to life dilemma situations. So these have actually been shown to work.
Okay. And why short term? What do you mean by short term?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. These interventions are generally grouped into short term and long term. So ideally, long term interventions means certain things that happen to you in your life, or practices that you adopt might lead to you growing in wisdom. It's slightly different from a short-term intervention. Mm. Over the short term, you can't actually become wiser.
No.
What you can do is, through some specific practice, you can access modes of thinking which might enable you, that you already have, mm-hmm, that might enable you to behave in a wiser way. So a short-term intervention doesn't actually make you wiser. It just enables you to access, yeah, wisdom that you already have, or modes of thinking that would be viewed as wise that are already within you. If that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. So you're, yeah, not learning anything or developing anything. You're just, yeah, accessing something that you've got already.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, sounds sensible. Sounds a good approach. Mm-hmm. So far away.
So we're going to look at three. The first one, we're going back to sort of the 90s, mid-90s. Again, Baltes and Staudinger, who turn up a lot in this, mm-hmm, research in, you know, Berlin, Max Planck Institute, mm-hmm, they found that if they presented a life dilemma to someone and they asked them to respond straight away and they'd scored it, they'd get a certain wisdom, you, mm-hmm, know, score. If they allowed the respondent, before they replied, to either have engage in dialogue with someone that they respected, or even, interestingly, just imagine,
yeah,
engaging in dialogue with
someone. Talk through this with somebody, yeah, yeah.
And they,
yeah,
were given a few minutes to do it, then their wisdom score, it's a bit of a sort of a shorthand way, yeah, of saying it, but increased by one standard deviation, which is statistically a big deal.
Yeah.
So the process of being given 5 minutes to think, to imagine how this would play out in a dialogue, yeah, with someone you cared about,
yeah,
or respected, shall we say, has a direct impact on the wisdom of your response.
That's very interesting, because that's something that we, without knowing, populate in, or certainly promote as a method to just imagine if you were having a conversation or you're being guided, or, you know, what would you say, you know, yeah, just remove yourself from the situation, trade minds with the other person, yeah, and see. Yeah. So it's something that I've discovered. And
naturally, from
naturally,
your own experience,
exactly, yeah, but it turns out that there's evidence that actually supports, yeah, us.
There is there's a self-distancing, which is a process which a researcher called Igor Grossman in Canada has recently published papers on, which is saying that, again, if you, rather than imagine what I would do in this situation, you try and imagine what you would tell yourself to do, again, that has a big impact. But, you know, what we're focusing on today, the first one of the three is this imagined dialogue.
Yeah.
Was I find quite interesting. It doesn't have to be real dialogue.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just you talking to yourself, but that process.
Right. How do you do that? It's quite tricky though, right? To imagine a dialogue. I mean, you have to have a deliberate step that you take.
If you are told to imagine how a conversation would pan out between you and person X.
So fine. So we're not actually saying how to then apply it in these life dilemma situations. We're just saying that if you did it, as we've done in the laboratory, it would improve your score on average,
yeah, yeah,
by one standard deviation.
Yeah. Great. Yeah.
So it works. Just we don't necessarily know how to access it,
yeah,
routinely.
Yeah.
Okay, good, great stuff. Next one.
So the next one is called The Cloud Ride, which sounds kind of a little bit out there.
Yeah.
This is again something Bouters and Staudinger showed in the laboratory to have a big impact on wisdom scores. And we need to zoom out a little bit and remind ourselves of the framework that they used to assess wisdom as five criteria. One of those criteria was value, relativism, and tolerance. So it's this idea that people view things from different perspectives.
Mm.
You need to be mindful of that when you're talking about wisdom. Mm. So the way the cloud ride idea works is you are presented with a life dilemma. And prior to giving your response, you are told to imagine, it's quite interesting, imagine traveling across the planet on a cloud and observing what's going on below. And then after you've been through that process, you're then asked to give your response. And what this did when they kind of drilled into the details was it specifically worked on that component, that it improved this sort of value that relativism aspect of the score.
Yeah.
So it was kind of targeted. It wasn't
very
general.
Specific, yeah.
Yeah. So the cloud ride, that's how that works.
That sounds a very simple one to do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Great stuff. And the third one?
Third one is quite funny. I laughed a little bit about this one.
I'm laughing as I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. It's called Try to Be Wise. It's a Try to Be Wise instruction.
What a wise person would do.
So what they did, same scenario, you give someone the life dilemma prior to them responding. You give them a specific instruction, which is in your response, try to be wise.
Yep. So you don't categorize and explain and
no.
What wise is.
Whereas previously with this life dilemma scenario, you're not told to try and be anything. You're just, you know, what would you do? Whereas this, they thought perhaps you could access some sort of frame of thinking or mode of thinking that might be helpful. So what they found was quite interesting. If you gave people the try to be wise instruction, one of two things could happen. one group of people, their wisdom performance increased. So they gave wiser responses. The other group of people actually was detrimental to their performance.
And the difference between these two groups?
Yeah, the difference between these two groups is the first group is considered wisdom close, which means they have the resources that we would typically associate with them. So if you're someone who already is fairly wise and then you're told to be wise, you have something to access so you can do it. But what's interesting is the people that are, you know, wisdom far, it actually would make their performance worse than if they weren't told to try and be wise.
And is that because they were kicking against the instruction or because they didn't have the resources to call upon in order to be wise?
I think the discussion section of the paper refers to the sort of stress associated with being asked to be wise and not being able to call on those resources.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they would have given a wiser response if they hadn't been told to try to be wise.
Yeah. Right.
So intervention is sort of respondent specific.
Yes. Okay. So how do you know which one to use? Because obviously if you're not very wise, then the trying to be wise is not going to work. But how would you know
you would need to know whether you're wise, which is a problem.
It's a challenge.
So I mean,
useful for researchers, useful but not research. Necessarily for action this stage.
Yeah.
And that's a theme, isn't it? As you keep saying, you're not trying to tell people what to do. You're just trying to tell people what to have a look at and to explore.
Yeah.
Some of which might be helpful, some might not be.
Yeah. And also because it's proper science, you know, sometimes the results aren't as robust and applicable as we would like.
Yeah.
But we have to be careful to not make public pleasing claims.
Yeah.
This is what has been shown.
Yeah.
It's less impressive than we would like, but you know, that's the nature.
We're not after Daily Mail headlines.
Yeah,
here,
for sure.
We're just after stuff that on average seems to be effective.
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. So again, more information on this and a deeper treatment on evidence-based wisdom .com. And this is great stuff. I like the idea of shortcuts, you know, short ways which you can in the moment sort of learn to be on balance being more effective in the pursuit of wisdom. So I like that. Thanks very much.